Ephesians chapter 4. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We've been marching through this letter, and as you know, the Apostle Paul has used the illustration for the church as the body of Christ. And those of you that understand the anatomy and understand biology and how bodies work, you understand that we are a very intricate creation. You understand that we are held together by ligaments and tendons. There are joints that allow us to move, but even us being able to move, there's things in there that are stretching. And notice I say things because I don't understand at all. But it's an incredible work, our bodies. And God has put it all together, and you notice that we're made up of different members. And we've got hands, we've got feet, ears, eyes, all these different members, but they are all designed for us to be able to live and to be healthy. We've been recently in our study, we've been looking at the church, and in chapter 4, we have seen how God's grace is not only necessary for us, but it has been given to us with great supply to be able to do this thing called church. In other words, we desperately need the grace of God not only to save us, but to enable us to minister in this living organism called the church. In Ephesians, there's talk about gifts. And 1 Corinthians talks about gifts. And these are grace gifts. These are gifts that are given because of the grace of God. God is ministering his grace to the church by giving gifted people, gifted men, to the church that they might minister. And again, this passage is not exhaustive in its list of gifts. But we see not only the unlimited grace, but we've seen the goal, and that is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Remember talking about that last week? The goal? As we are living this life, we have this picture ahead of us. Jesus Christ in all of his fullness, his maturity, his stature, everything that we understand and know to be true about him from his word, we are to be striving to emulate in our lives personally, but ultimately it is to be lived out in the church. This is our goal, Christ likeness. You see, the world today is experiencing Christ through the church, through you and me, through us as a body of believers. The world is experiencing Christ through the church. Although our head is in heaven, his body extends to the far reaches of the earth. As that body, and this is just review, but as that body, we are to be united in our faith. We are to be seeking to know God and being aware of him. And we are to be living like Jesus. I realize that is a phrase that is tossed around and kind of nebulous. And it's easy for us to say, oh, I can live like Jesus and I know what that means. And then we go out into the world and then we don't live like Jesus. You realize that living like Jesus takes knowing Jesus. And knowing how he lived and operated under circumstances and challenges of life. How did Jesus handle temptations? Because you're going to handle a temptation this week. And if we're going to live like Jesus, we ought to know how Jesus handled those temptations. And I'm not going to go over all of this today, but I am just challenging you and reminding you of what we've talked about. The goal is Christ likeness. And if you want to be like Christ, you need to know him. And if you want to know him, you need to be in his word. That's it. You got to be in the word of God. I say that seems like every Sunday. But as I've been growing in my faith in Christ, I've realized the importance of that truth. And I implore you, become a believer in that. You need the word of God, and you need it regularly. You know, Paul explains for us what it means to be like Jesus in his letters. If you want to know what it means to be like Jesus, start studying Ephesians verses or chapters 4, 5, and 6. Look at Romans chapters 12 through 16. Galatians 5 through 6, Philippians 2 through 4, Colossians 3 and 4, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, Hebrews 11 and 12. You see, these are all places where there are instructions for the church and for the believer on how we are to live and operate in these days. I'm telling you, from here, from the scripture, we are to be growing up, verse 15, chapter 4, verse 15 of Ephesians, grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Remember last time, I challenged you, grow up in Christ. Now, this is important because as we see in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. God doesn't want us to be unfaithful banners. Every time the wind blows, it says something different. Rather, we must be consistently speaking truth in love. See, notice the context of that phrase, speaking truth in love. You know you are speaking the truth in love, and listen to this, church, you know you're speaking the truth in love when your words propel the listener to growth in Christ's likeness. It's about being like Christ. That's the goal. That's the goal. Individually, but also as the body of Christ. Because that's who we are, the body of Christ. Now, we're going to look at verse 16 today specifically. We've already talked about unlimited grace. We've talked about the ultimate goal. Today we're going to talk about the important role, the measure of the working of every part. Today's going to be individual. Today's going to be a challenge to your heart in your role in the body of Christ. Verse 16. Actually, let's go verse 15 because we're going to flow in with context here. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first read that, although I've read it many times, when I first started studying it for this message, I was like, what does it mean? There's a lot there. And so I had to begin breaking it down, and that's why, that's what I'm supposed to do, right? I'm supposed to teach and help us understand these things. So I'm going to do the best that I can to share with you what I believe God wants us to learn from this. I want you to notice that Christ plays a very important role here. It says, from whom? From whom? Christ. Okay? From Christ, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. Those are passive verbs, participles. Passive means that an action is being done upon the subject. This action, this fitly joining together, this compacting is being done upon the body of Christ by whom? Christ. Okay? Now, this fitly joined together, as I said, it is a participle, it's a verbal form, and it's made up of three different words in the Greek language. With, a joint, and to speak or say. Now, try to put that together, I'm like, whoa, why does Paul have to use such language? But I want you to listen. It is that which is being declared as joined together by Christ. Notice there is a connection. There's a connection. That's key. Because as we talk about the body of Christ and we talk about every part, and you saw that later down in the verse, every part, we are not all these separate different parts. There are connections between all the parts. That's why God uses the body illustration. I mean, God's wise. All right? He says it's the body of Christ. And we understand a body. We know, we see, we live in one. And we know and understand that we're made up of all kinds of different parts. But the parts aren't a part of the body until they are connected. So we're connected. So Christ is doing this connecting. He also is compacting. This compacted is a word, and again, made up, it's a compound word, with and a footing or a basis. So it's that which is being based or brought together in the same thing. So not only does Jesus Christ connect us together, but he bases us upon the same footing, the same ground. We stand together. All right, now with that in mind, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. Now again, the focus is our role. And today's exhortation is you have an important role to play in the body of Christ. Christ connects us, joins us, and puts us firmly together. And this is accomplished through what every joint supplies. So all these connecting bands that put our body together provides energy and strength, blood, to the different parts of our body. And so with that in mind, all of these connections are important. And if you are the palm and someone else is the thumb, your role as the palm is pretty important to the thumb, isn't it? There's that connection, that role that we play in the lives of one another that ultimately builds a healthy body of Christ. So, that's the picture. I mean, this is Anatomy 101 here for the church. So every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Now, effectual is a word the translators added to help us understand that this working is accomplishing something. The Greek word actually simply means accomplishing or working. And we know that it is effective based upon the context and who is doing it. The effectual working in the measure of every part. Now that's where you come in. Part. That word, part, is really made up of two words in the Greek. One and the whole or the aspect. So it's one part of a whole. And in my mind, that told me, you know what? That's talking about me. Because I'm one part of a whole. It's talking about you and you and you, for you are one part of a whole. And it talks about the effectual working of the measure of every part. So if we measure every part, measure, again, is that determined amount. It's an established standard of measure. So the established standard of every part is important to the effectual working of the body in every joint that God, Jesus Christ, has put together. In the end of the verse, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Well, there's the result. There's the result. Growth. Didn't we just talk about we need to grow up? Yeah, we did. Growth. How is that possible? It's through Jesus putting us together and you and I fulfilling our roles, and the result is growth. And the growth brings about edification, the building up of the body of Christ, and this all happens in the sphere of love. Now, that's my best understanding and explanation of what that verse is saying. Now, I just want to sum it up for you and help you and I to understand why God's telling this to us today. You're sitting here and you're hearing God's word. And what are we to think about this? What are we to do with this? Well, we need to understand that every part is important, right? Every part is important. We've spent weeks, church, on talking about the church and how it's put together, made up. It's a body made up of many members. We've got that. We are a church. This body of believers is a church, a body of Christ, the body of Christ. And so every part is important, valuable. Talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and if you want further, go further study, you can look at that passage. Every part's important. But not only that, every part has a work to do. Every part has a work to do. You know, Christ fashions and designs this body, and he puts it together, made up of individuals working together, fulfilling their expected role. That's God's design. Don't argue with God's design. That's what he did. And so therefore, we play our part. We are to play our role. And know this, that your work, that my work, benefits the whole. Every work, every part is important. Every part has a work to do, and every part, when they do their work, it benefits the whole. Benefits the entire body. Are you doing your work? Are you playing a part? You know, probably the first question we ought to ask this morning is, are you a part of the body of Christ? I mean, I stand up here and it would be naive of me to say that you all understand what I'm talking about. But the body of Christ is made up of people that have been regenerated by God. People whose lives have been changed from a state of being in sinfulness where you cannot do right and please God, but you experience God's grace in your life and you understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, and that he was the sufficient sacrifice to pay the penalty for your sin. And as God's, through God's grace, that is revealed into your heart, you come to a point where you believe and embrace that to be true in your life. and God regenerates and changes you and makes you into a new creation. You have a new way of living, a new opportunity to please God. Because before you couldn't. I couldn't. And when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are, the Bible says, baptized into the body of Christ. You're born again. You become the part. And you know, this is why it's so very important that we understand that being a part of the body of Christ, you bear fruit. You live like a Christian. So are you a part of the body of Christ? If you doubt, then there is reason for you to consider this. This is ultimately the most important question you need to answer in your life. If you doubt whether you are a part of the body of Christ, then you need to reckon with God and ask questions about who is Jesus Christ and do I truly believe He is the Savior of the world? As a part of the body of Christ, your life is going to be different. You will live in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. And Paul is going to spell that out in the verses to come. Do you understand that from today's passage, you're an important part of the body of Christ? Have you ever considered your part in your role? I know I have sat where you've sat, but I know we can come up with excuses, such as, I don't know where I would fit. I'm afraid of being hurt. And I know many of you have been hurt before. I'm satisfied right where I am. I don't want to be overcommitted. Notice I said these are excuses. Don't you think God knows what you can handle? God knows how much you can be committed to. Do you really want to grow? Then stop sitting there saying you're satisfied where you're at. Grow. Be willing and ready to move, to move on for Christ. I don't know where I would fit. Well, have you explored? Have you tried different things? Have you sought the insight and counsel of fellow believers in the body? I want to ask you a question. Have you ever witnessed the body of Christ working together? Have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen Christ in the church? Wow. It's an amazing picture. I want to tell you something. If you've not seen that, you're missing something. Because the truth is, you should be a part of it. You should be a part of it. You've got a role to play to make that happen. It's an incredible thing to see the body of Christ work. It would be remiss for me to overlook the last two words of verse 16. In love. You know, I find it interesting, well, the Word of God is fascinating, and it is interesting how it's put together and how words are used, and I want to just draw our attention as we close this time together, because listen, the call is you've got an important role to play in the body of Christ. You are needed. You're needed in this body. You got a role to play. The call has been clear. The goal, growth in Christ's likeness. The goal is there. You've got the grace in Jesus Christ. So you've got the ability and the power to do it. The goal is Christ. The role is there for you to fulfill. and it's you need to do it. All of this is in the context of love. Love is the air we breathe that keeps us growing and thriving as a church. You know, that love was first defined for us in Jesus Christ as God sent his Son down to this earth. The scripture says God so loved the world. And in that love, in those moments, that love is defined as a commitment, an unconditional sacrifice, a willingness to give despite the cost. And I so appreciate the Apostle Paul, and as he interjects love into these conversations where a whole bunch of people have to work together. And you know what? We don't always like each other. We don't always see eye to eye. But the call is we've got to work together. God's knit us together. He's put us together. And it can work and it will work, but it will only work in the context of love. You love, I love. We be like Christ, and it will work. The world will see Christ. Remember, we don't want the world to see some great preacher. We don't want the world to see some fancy buildings. We want the world to see Christ. We are the body, so we work together that Christ might be seen. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I want us to march through the book of Ephesians. Not going to take long, but I want you to see how Paul interjects the importance of love. Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. What's the words? In love. Love is the environment for salvation resulting in redemption. You want to know more about that? Read Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. I want to pick up actually verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. Love is the foundation for knowledge resulting in completeness. Look at chapter 4, verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. There it is again. Love is the context for relationships resulting in unity. We need love. Look at chapter 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in what? In love. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Love is the platform for truth, resulting in growth. Look at verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. In love. Love is the sustenance for growth. It results in edification. Edification is a big word to say building up. Building up. And there's one other place we see that, and that's chapter 5 and verse 2. And walk in love. In the following verses, you see an incredible picture of holiness. So love is the banner for life, resulting in holiness. You know what we could also do is we won't, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the church being a body. Talks about spiritual gifts. What's 1 Corinthians 13? Shouldn't that tell us something? Love. Right in the middle of Paul's discourse on the church, its gifts, its how it works together, how it's a body, and he talks about love being the greatest. we need love. All right, so church, what's rattling on? What's going on inside that head of yours, in your mind? You know, what's it mean? We've talked about individual role, talked about the important role, the part that you are to play in the body of Christ. What does that mean? Here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want you to start asking questions. I want you to ask your pastor. I want you to ask the leadership of this church how you can be involved, how you can serve, how you can be a part of picturing Christ to the world. And start taking an active role. Do that. You know what? It ministers to the body when people step up and begin to fulfill the role that God has for them. And you want to know something? I don't know exactly what that is for you. And neither do the deacons. But you know what? If you allow yourself to be used, put yourself out there, we can begin to pray together and we can begin to work together. And you know what God's going to do? He's going to make it work. And He's going to put you in places where things are going to happen and Christ will be seen and you will be used and the body will be strengthened and built up. But you've got to step forward. The call is clear. You've got a role to play. The goal is Christ's likeness. You've got the grace. Now, church, individual, believer, step forward. God, thank you for our time, and I ask that you would help us as we seek to live out this calling that you've put before us, that of Christ's likeness. Boy, God, it. And boy, that's a great calling. It's huge. It's big. It's pretty awesome. It's awesome, God, because it's your body. You are awesome. And God, I ask that you'd help us. Help us to fulfill this calling in our lives. Encourage your people today. Lord, I pray that if there are some that have been sitting and satisfied and just making excuses, Lord, that you would help them to not sit still, and to get up and to serve and to be involved. Oh, God, I thank you. This is your church. Lord, this is your message. It's not mine. These are yours, your people. Please, God, work as you see fit, not only in their lives, but mine too. In Jesus' name, amen.